3 o'clock in the Southland on a Live Imaging Tuesday. Mason in Ireland, Andy Kamenetsky, but John's about to join us, right?
Yeah.
And this is a TV theme and sort of yacht rockish, which we usually do on Tuesdays, but today we've been doing TV themes.
WKRP.
WKRP in Cincinnati. There you go.
I grew up in Ohio, so this was a big deal. I grew up in Ohio working in radio, so WKRP was a gigantic deal. Lonnie Anderson.
Yes.
The great Lonnie Anderson.
I once saw Howard Hessman get kicked out of a bar.
Is that right?
Dr. Johnny Fever.
Yes.
Howard Hessman, by the way, a kicker for the Cleveland Browns, or tried out, I think, for the Cleveland Browns as a kicker. Yeah.
He had had a few too many when I was there that
night. Somebody
will
check me on that and tell me I'm wrong.
Speaking of great kickers, Scott Kaplan, don't forget. Cigano and Cap coming up at 4 o'clock.
Coming up.
Started with Super Crosstalk at 3:55. So is Ireland there or no? Dad?
No.
Dad's not been here all day.
He'll let me know.
Oh, here.
Oh, hey. Hey. There you are.
What are you guys doing?
Well, we're just screwing around. You know, the usual stuff. I'm occasionally yelling out, Lonnie Walker! Because
you and every other Laker fan.
Yeah, how about that? How about that?
Didn't see that one coming.
No, did not. John, your take on the game. We haven't talked to you all day. What's your take on this thing?
I do not think it's over. I know you do.
Yeah, it's over.
Michael thinks it's over.
Yeah.
Andy, what do you think?
I think it is pretty close to over.
Yeah,
it's pretty close to over.
I will believe the Warriors are dead when I see a death certificate. I'm like the Wizard of Oz. I need to see the house on top of the witch before I declare a Warriors team dead. So we'll see. What do you guys think about tomorrow night?
You know, the line, John, is 7.5.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
7.5 seems super
high. It's
a
big line.
That's a big
number.
Well, remember, they set those lines to get suckers like us to bet. So when you see that, you think, oh, I'm taking the Lakers. That's a big number.
That's what I did. I already have mythical money on the Lakers because that's a big number.
But the Warriors are literally, like we said, in game four, they were kind of fighting for their dynasty. Now it's official. If they lose, their dynasty ends. So, and they probably break this team up. So, I mean, I think with all that riding on the game tomorrow night, it's going to be the toughest Laker game to win this year. Not that they can't do it, but I think it's going to be tough.
I think it is possible for the Lakers to win this thing tomorrow night in San Francisco, but even if this thing goes back to L.A., I'm guessing it ends in L.A., but even if it didn't, honestly, I don't think Golden State can beat the Lakers three times in a row.
No.
I don't.
Maybe they can't, but using your scenario, Andy, so if the Warriors were to win tomorrow – and somehow they were able to win Friday in game six, they would be the favorites on Sunday.
That's fine, but I still don't think they can beat them three times in a row. I mean,
I don't either, but I mean, I'm not going to declare them dead.
I'm not going to declare them dead. And I think
Mason and Michael are.
They are.
That's the difference between me and you and them.
But I mean, historically, it's 95% chance the team that goes up 3-1 winds up winning the
series.
I just assume that that's going to happen.
I don't think they're dead yet, but I think we are in a like DNR period right now where the patient
you're calling for a DNR.
The patient right now is on life support.
All right, Mace, you want some more optimism from your perspective?
Love that. Yeah.
LeBron James is 17-0 in his career when his teams have a 3-1 series lead in the playoffs. That's the best record of any player in NBA history.
Okay.
Wow.
It's evidence on my side.
So yeah. And as you pointed out, 3-1 teams that lead 3-1 like the Lakers do now are 264-13, a 95% chance that they win. But having said that, Andy, you and I have been covering this team long enough to know that we watched them blow a 3-1 lead to Phoenix in 2007.
Six.
Was it six
it was
that
six.
That happened? Okay, so 3-1 lead to Phoenix in 2006. We watched the Warriors come back in 2016 when they were down 3-1, that was game six Clay in Oklahoma City. And then just like 2 weeks later, the Cavs came back on the Warriors when they were down 3-1 to win the title. So the Warriors, especially their core guys, are very familiar with 3-1 being up or down. So I don't think they're going to be freaked out by it.
No, I don't think they're going to be freaked out. And I understand the line tomorrow night. I mean, the natural inclination would be Golden State bounces back at home. Like, that's – in my gut, I feel like, yeah, that's probably the thing that is likely to happen. I still think that the Lakers can win the game tomorrow night. I don't know if you're – Greenberg said – Mike Greenberg, who I love.
Idiot. I can't believe he even proposed
this. I'm a big Greenberg fan. I love the get up. And I
was until today.
Yeah.
Now I think he's lost his mind.
So cockamamie.
Green, we haven't done this one. So here's what Greenberg said. He says, rest the starters.
It's like in baseball, where you don't have to, you save your pitcher for the one game you need to win. You don't have to win five games in a best of seven. You only have to win four. Again, I don't want to sidetrack the conversation. Well, sure I do. I'll sidetrack the conversation. They're not winning game five under any, the Warriors are the hearts of a champion going home with their backs to the wall. The Warriors are winning game five no matter what happens. I'm playing this thing to try and win it in six.
All right, yeah. So a couple of responses to that.
Yeah.
Number one, he doesn't know what's going to happen. Weren't the Warriors playing with their heart of the champion backs against the wall last night in game four?
Yes, they absolutely were.
All right, so if they can lose that, they can lose tomorrow.
Yes.
And, you know, that's number one. And number two, these playoff games in the NBA teeter on a pretty thin edge. You don't give a game away.
No.
You don't kick a game to the other team for rest.
You don't load manage in the Western Conference semifinals.
No. Now, if they're down 30 at half, yeah, pull your guys.
Yes.
But you got to try. I mean, isn't all the pressure on the Warriors tomorrow night?
100%.
It's on them for the rest of the series.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're down 3-1. The pressure is
so completely on them. So what if Clay shoots 3-for-11 again, or Jordan Poole throws up another bagel? You know, Steph, I think what we learned last night is Steph can't win this game by himself.
Right.
One of the other guys, Wiggins, Poole, Clay,
well,
has
Poole
to
has
show
been
up.
Just awful.
Yeah.
Poole
I mean,
has been terrible.
I wonder, Mace, if they're going to play him. He only played 10 minutes last night.
Yeah. He is really shooting badly. I want him out there as much as possible.
If he had not been punched in the face.
Yeah.
He might not have gotten the exact same contract, and the Warriors might not be in the exact same situation moving forward. Because after Draymond hit him,
yeah,
they were in a position where they had to give him that money.
Wait a minute. Whoa, they didn't have to give him the money.
Well, I think at that point they had to give
because
him
the money. Because of
Why?
The punch?
Because of the punch.
No.
Why, that would be a reason not to give him the money.
No, because Draymond, at the time, I think they looked at Poole as a bigger part of the future.
Right.
And you have to worry about keeping your youth, keeping your future moving forward. Draymond is the aging guy. He had been less effective
right.
over recent years. And also, too, because the Warriors didn't really discipline Draymond.
Right.
You have to do something. Otherwise, it looks like you're taking Draymond's side over Jordan Poole, the guy that got hit. The guy that the video came out of him getting
right.
hit.
Right.
I think he got hit into a contract now that the Warriors
wow.
are going to.
I think that's a reach.
That's a very weird theory.
I'll run it by Greenberg.
Yeah, run it by Greeny. Because I'm a big Greenberg. I love Greenberg, but that's a weird take.
Greenberg did something yesterday, Mace, that you would have done.
Okay.
He was on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
He was in L.A. with the NBA crew
right.
doing the pregame shows. And on Monday, he was in New York doing Get Up. So Sunday night, he flew home.
Yeah.
On Monday, they taped a roundtable to run on Get Up. So Greenberg said, now we're going to hear from the guys in the NBA Today crew. Greeny, what do you have? He threw it to himself. And then he came on and he goes, thanks, Greeny. And he talked. And at the end of it, he goes, Greeny, back to you. And I thought, Mason's going to be so jealous that he didn't think of that first.
I've done that stuff accidentally. I don't know if I necessarily even thought about
years
it.
Years ago,
advance.
when Craig Kilborn, remember when he was the Daily Show host?
Sure.
He did a segment one time where he put himself in the guest chair, and he interviewed himself as Craig Kilborn, like doing, remember the five
oh,
questions?
Yeah.
Mason would love to do that.
Oh, I would love to. That's a good Culture Pop podcast.
That
right
would
there.
Be a podcast. Mason interviewing Mason.
Oh.
You could call it Mason on Mason.
Because I know all the dirt.
You do.
I can get right to it.
Well, you know how to get the dirt out of yourself.
I do.
And then you got to do a fake fight. Like, I can't believe you asked me that question. I'm going to walk out.
Exactly.
No, don't walk out.
I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Kilborn. So Liz Winstead is one of the creators of the original Daily Show. And she told me one time that Craig Kilborn, who I guess was temperamental to work with, got very pissed off because the prompter was wrong. He said, it's not Boutros Boutros Ghali. There's obviously a typo. And, of course, it was Boutros Boutros Ghali, who was like the president yes. of some weird thing, but Craig didn't know about it. I'll tell you, John, I come out of that game thinking, first of all, that the Lakers are going to win. Secondly, that it's not far-fetched to say this team can win a championship?
Well, they're in Vegas. They're number two right now. They're ranked only behind the Celtics to win the title. So you're not the only, I mean, if you think you're being crazy to suggest that, you're not. Follow
given the fact
money.
That when they were 2-10, I said, it's over, trade Anthony Davis.
I think you actually traded AD three or four times.
Three or four
year.
Times as the season
You wanted
went
to
along.
Trade him after the Houston game, and that was like with 2 weeks left in the
season.
Yeah,
the Houston game. He should have played that Houston game.
Right.
That second night of a back-to-back. That one stuck with me.
If the trade line deadline hadn't have passed, I think you would have tried to engineer it. We could have done a whole show on your Anthony Davis trade proposals.
Yeah.
But
you never know
those.
Some of those trades might have also gotten the Lakers in this exact same position.
Correct. Let me ask, because I acknowledged that I was wrong back then, does that make me a flip-flopper now? It doesn't.
No, that of course it does. It's a definition of a flip-flopper.
Wait a minute. What did I flip-flop to?
You flip-flopped from trade Anthony Davis to not trade Anthony. You don't want to trade him now, right?
Well, I wanted to trade him during the playoffs.
Yeah, but I mean, even after the season, you
right,
want to trade
him,
right?
But I'm acknowledging that I was wrong. I said trade him earlier in the year, and I was wrong.
I think it's only flip-flopping when you change your opinion but don't acknowledge that you had
correct.
Been wrong.
Correct. If you pretend like you were
no,
right
that's absurd.
Back then, no.
If I say, I guarantee that the Lakers are going to beat the Warriors tomorrow night here in San Francisco.
Right.
And then the Lakers lose. And I kind of say, you know what? I acknowledge I was wrong. I flip-flopped.
Well, no, you
not,
didn't.
That's not flip-flopping. That's acknowledging the score of the game.
That's just getting right. something wrong. There's a difference between flip-flopping
and
getting something
wrong. John, you can't say the Lakers are going to win game four even after they lost game four. Like, you can't keep saying it. At some point, you're acknowledging reality.
Yeah, but you realize that Mason's saying we should train Anthony Davis, and then Anthony Davis playing well, and Mason's saying, okay, I was wrong. We should not, under any condition, trade Anthony Davis. He just completely reversed his position. It doesn't matter what the semantics are. He flip-flopped.
So I think flip-flopping should actually be, I want to trade Anthony Davis. No, 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 I don't want to trade Anthony Davis. And then you go back to wanting to trade him.
Well, Mason,
then
is
you're
that
flip-flopping.
Like in one show?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
so that's flip-flopping.
Occasionally, yeah. No, but I think because I'm acknowledging I was wrong when they were 2-10, that accounts for now.
Well, you tell yourself whatever you got to tell you.
That's what I do, John. You're describing my life. Tell myself whatever I have to tell myself.
I think your best example of this is that you look at this as a fan. You know, you're a fan. I mean, Andy, you deal with more fans than we do on the Locked On Lakers pod. I mean, fans, they wanted to fire Darvin.
Oh, yeah. Darvin scam, Darvin sham, Darvin scram.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you look at what Darvin's doing now, and it's like he's one of the best first-year coaches in the last 20 years.
Yep.
Darvin, bam! That's
Darvin,
what they call him now.
Bam!
That's what Chris Morales calls him.
Exactly. All right, coming up next for you, John. John is in San Francisco. Andy's here. Andy, you hanging out for a while?
One more segment.
One more segment. John, I want to ask you about another gambling scandal in college sports.
Okay.
It's really, really interesting, and I think it's impossible to police this. We'll get into it coming up. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Stop!
Come on, do your bit.
Ladies and gentlemen,
who is it?
The great Gino Minnelli.
Very true.
Minnelli with a V.
V.
It is a Live Imaging Tuesday on Mason in Ireland. Johnny, Dad is back.
Dad
he's here
is
for
home.
The 3 o'clock
yes,
hour.
He's live in San Francisco.
Andy Kamenetsky's here too. It's also a Lakers Celebration Tuesday thanks to our friends at Michelob Ultra. And now we're bringing back the Yacht Rock because John's here.
Of course.
We've been doing TV themes earlier, John.
Did Mason get them?
He didn't get Hunter, which was a big part of my life.
Yeah, didn't get Hunter.
Hunter starring former Ram Fred Dreyer.
Yes, and the great Stephanie Kramer.
Yes. By the way, the other Ram who had a TV show, Ireland.
Here we go.
The other Ram who had a TV show.
Yes.
All right, so let me give this some thought.
Legendary Ram.
Merlin Olsen.
Merlin Olsen, exactly.
Father something.
Father Brown.
Father Murphy.
Father Murphy. Right, I called him Father Brown. Father Murphy. Yes. See?
Yeah, that was a spin-off of Little House on the Prairie.
We also have uncovered that Mason now is cocktailing a lot, and he forgets about
God
the text.
God bless him.
He forgets about the text he's sending to Corporate Greg, or posting pictures on Instagram of his cocktails. He says he never does it, and I showed him pictures of it from Instagram.
Well, this is like him saying he's never in his life interviewed Kim Kardashian, and us finding two different interviews with Kim that Mason conducted.
I have no recollection of sending out an Instagram post with cocktails on it.
Right. It's because your brain has been fried. You remember those commercials? This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs.
Right. Although it's cannabis. It comes from the earth. It's natural.
It's still
been used for hundreds of years.
It's made the egg a little scrambled.
I think the show's better when you get drunk and tweet stuff, so I'm all in favor of it.
Frankly, Friday, we had a lot of fun because there was a little Dos Hombres in everyone's
system.
There
was a little Dos Hombres
next
everywhere.
Next thing you know, Mason's eating a whole pepper.
Jalapeno pepper, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So the highlight of last night, I told the story earlier, but John, I want you to hear it.
Yeah.
So Momo wanted to introduce me and Kaplan to Woj, which...
Not the same story.
I just told it this show. So Woj, who I probably met at some point. You probably met Woj before, right?
You probably interviewed him.
Yeah,
many times.
He's probably been on the show, and I don't even remember it.
Andy, didn't you work for him at one point in your life?
I have not worked directly for Woj. I've worked with Woj.
Gotcha.
So Momo took us over to Woj. He was in the press room there, and I had a snappy opener. I said, I follow you on Twitter. And I got a laugh out of him. Then he said...
That's like when I said to Steven Spielberg, hey,
wait a minute.
Like your restaurant.
It was a good line.
It
loosened things up. It was an icebreaker. And then
never heard that one before.
And then he said, so what do you think tonight? And I said, well, Lakers win. And he goes, I got somebody over here I need to talk to. So he bailed on the conversation. And by the way, then got a Coke. He went and got a diet soda.
So he made up somebody.
Made
so
up
could
somebody.
Get out
go
of
to.
This conversation he was having with
so
you.
So Momo said afterwards, she texted me and said, there's a follow-up to the story. Woj came to me afterwards and said, that guy has fantastic hair.
Oh my God, he couldn't say anything that you would love more than that.
It's the greatest Woj bomb in the history of Woj
bombs. Love this
like,
guy.
Literally, he could have said to Mason, I think that guy should be the next president of the United States, and he would not have appreciated it as much as a compliment on Mason's hair.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I was excited about that. Who else did I see? Oh, did you see Cousin Greg last night?
Yeah, well, I saw him from afar. I saw him going down hugging Jeannie when I was sitting in my broadcast spot.
Yeah, that's Nicholas Braun. He is so tall.
Yeah, I think he's 6'5".
Yeah, I mean, he was, like, there's nowhere to hide. Like, I always feel like we did a Q&A years ago with Kareem, and, like, you know, he's 7 foot tall. There's nowhere you can hide when you're 7 feet tall. You're Kareem. This Nicholas Braun is so tall, and everybody knows that show so well that guys are yelling like, Cousin Greg.
There's a lot of tall, by the way, going on with Succession right now because Alexander Skarsgård's a tall guy.
Oh, is he?
Matthew McFadden is a tall guy.
Okay.
And then Nicholas Braun is huge.
Yeah, really tall.
Like, there was a scene where all three of them were together in the most recent episode. I was like, wow.
Okay.
A lot of height.
So the fact I did not know.
Yeah.
You guys have all seen Zoolander, right?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Okay, so you remember the scene at the gas station when the four male models are driving the Jeep and they're singing along to Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go?
Yes.
And they all have smoothies and they're bobbing their heads together and one of them lights a cigarette at the gas station and the whole Jeep blows up?
Yep.
Okay. Alexander Skarsgård was one of those four guys who got blown up in the Jeep.
Oh, really?
Can you believe that?
That's very funny.
That's kind of the opposite of playing Mattson.
He is so good in that role. He's so
great.
Like, he keeps you so unnerved.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you never know where what's going to happen next.
Bergman, did you watch Succession last night?
I have not watched it yet. God. I need to watch it. You mentioned Kareem earlier.
Yeah.
So our social media team, DeAndre, was filming Kareem walking out of the second half, and he tripped, and DeAndre caught him.
No.
DeAndre
good
caught
work,
Kareem.
Good work, DeAndre.
He's got a video of it and everything.
He's got a video. Well, let's not put a video
No,
on
we're not going
to
do that.
Kareem
but
tripping.
No, we're not going to do that. But yeah, he caught Kareem.
You'll put that out?
Well, did anyone get hurt?
No.
No, he caught
then,
him.
Then I'm, yeah. Hurt, yeah. I will put it out and say, nice save, DeAndre.
DeAndre caught
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Isn't that like, so
all videos where people, where there are no injuries are fair game.
Yeah, and also, like, this is what happens when you intern at ESPN Los Angeles. You get to catch Kareem at some point.
Yeah.
That makes you somewhere, DeAndre, between, like, a local and a national hero, saving Kareem from falling all the way down.
You know, Mace, you know who told me wants to be an intern at ESPN LA?
Hmm.
Julia McIntyre.
Oh.
She applied.
She applied?
Oh,
she
did
applied?
She? Good. I told her she to. Did.
Good, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. She's the girl who asked the really nice questions of Russell Westbrook.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
That Mark Shaw, our TV producer, and Trudell, like, were all shaking their head. Like, this is sanctity in here. You can't ask questions
when
like that.
When do we announce our new crop of interns?
Julia McIntyre joining us at 3 p.m.
3 p.m.
2 weeks. 2 weeks.
2 weeks. All right.
So good. She's got a chance. You're telling me there is a chance.
There is a chance.
This is, by the way, Ireland, you've been around a lot of TV stations and stuff and seen interns. This is the way into the business. And these guys over here, Cody and Parker and DeAndre, went from interns to social media team just like that in regular gigs. So this is a really good internship.
Am I correct that Nick Hamilton was at one point an intern here?
I, Greg, you'll know the answer to this. Was Carlo Sisu not once an intern?
Carlo definitely was.
Carlo was. Absolutely.
Yeah, Carlo was.
And now he's running the place.
But he runs social media.
If I remember correctly, Nick Hamilton, who
Nick Hamilton was.
He has his own, like, media company right now. He's doing extremely well.
Well, tell him to hire us.
Yeah, I'm available for other stuff, too.
Well, I mean, Nick has done really well for himself.
Because Mason and I need more jobs.
Yeah.
Especially you, know, John. You need more jobs.
Yeah, you need more. Can I just, I just want to say something here. So I want to point out that John Ireland is working every show this week. He got on a plane today, flew to San Francisco, popped on for the final hour of this show. You really are James Brown. You really are the hardest working man in show business.
Yes, I agree. And in honor of that, Greg, what day this week am I taking off?
None.
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 What
None.
Kind of attitude is that?
No days off for
we
you.
We need the voice of the Lakers on the show.
Yeah, I think during the playoffs, it's important that we both be here.
Yes.
As much as possible.
As much as possible.
But after, but when the season's over, take some time.
Hey, Andy. Oh, trust me. I will. Andy, are the Locked On Lakers people clamoring for Lonnie Walker to play 40 minutes in the next game?
They want to see more of Lonnie Walker. They are happy to.
By the way.
Look, it's the last series and the beginning of this one. They weren't getting anything out of Troy Brown. They weren't getting anything out of Malik Beasley. They've needed more scoring, especially with Austin Reeves admittedly tired. This is not a great matchup for Rui. Like, they need more points. Lonnie coming in has been really, really important for him. It's also just great to see a guy like that who had started out really well, out of the rotation. By all accounts, just a terrific guy. Everybody loves him in that locker room. It's great to see him have this redemption.
By the way, Reeves had a really good night last night. I think one of the reasons why Reeves has seemed gassed is because everybody has to work harder on defense.
He is tired.
Yeah.
You know, we interviewed him. We interviewed Austin after the game last night, and I said, you know, you really haven't been measuring up to your own standards, and I was surprised with what he said. He goes, I've actually been okay with the way I've played.
Huh.
He said, as long as we win, I'm good. And the thing about Lonnie Walker, Andy, you just kind of highlighted it. They have a group of guys, like, we get these itineraries every day, so we know when the buses leave and when the food's here, and, you know, they basically just kind of keep you in the loop. And they have a group of guys that they call the Stay Ready Team. And basically that's code for guys who probably won't play in the game, but they want these guys ready in case an emergency pops up. So, like, today they'll say, since LeBron and AD played, like, 45 minutes, they'll say, stay ready team only, bus leaves at 3 o'clock. And Lonnie Walker has been on the stay ready bus every single day since he's been here, even back when he started. And that's why so many people are happy for him, because he never complained. He never bitched about being out of the rotation. His body language never sulked. Like, first guy on the bus, saying hello to everybody. First guy at shoot around, one of the last guys to leave. And literally, if you heard him do interviews last night, he was like, "Guys, I know everybody's surprised by this, but I'm not. I've been preparing for this for months. And I knew that sooner or later, they were going to call my number, and I just had to make sure I was ready." I just think that's a great message to send to anybody on the end of an NBA bench, because you just never know when they're going to call your number. And last night they called his, and now he's the talk of the town.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
All right, coming up next for you, John, I want to hit you with this. And Andy, you taking off?
Yeah, I got to take off.
Thank you very much. By the
child way, care issues, Andy?
Say that again.
What's that?
I said child care issues?
No, I got to go over to Spectrum. I'm going to be appearing on their podcast and then later doing the show tonight.
Roars!
Well, you won't be with Allie because Allie Clifton sat next to me on the plane.
Yeah, I believe it's going to be me, Geeter, and Brez.
There you go.
Thank you, Andy. Andy's been filling in on the Culture Pop podcast for Sue. And
how's that going?
We now have a YouTube component.
There is a YouTube component.
The Culture Pop podcast is now on YouTube. So me, Andy, and Robert Wisdom, who's a big fan of the show, we played Bunny Colvin on The Wire. Great dude.
Oh, I love that character.
Yeah, he's so good. We talk a lot about The Wire on there.
He's a big Laker fan.
And he's on Barry, and he's a huge Lakers fan.
Like, he talks about the Lakers as we. That's how you know he's
love
a big
it.
Fan.
Yeah, no,
good
he's
for him.
Great guy. All right, coming up next for you, there is an actor, John, who's having a new kid. Having a baby.
Okay.
But he's a little older.
DiCaprio.
No. I will tell you who it is coming up next. Mason in Ireland,
710
ESPN.
Leonard DiCaprio.
I don't believe that's actually what
that
he
was
does.
That, did you like that face I made?
That face was very odd.
3:30 in the Southland on a live imaging Tuesday with Mason in Ireland. Johnny I is in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Mason's here. It's also a Lakers celebration Tuesday, thanks to our friends at Michelob Ultra. What a win last night. We get ready for the knockout punch, possibly.
Let's do it.
Game 5 tomorrow night. Coverage begins at 5:30 p.m. The Toyota Lakers countdown to tip off with Slee. And at 7 o'clock, Johnny I and Michael Thompson have your play-by-play, the push to banner 18 on your Lakers playoff station, 710 ESPN. Johnny
Hey, you
I?
Guys, get a load of this.
Oh, yes. What is it?
Just got this from the NBA.
Okay.
Warriors-Lakers last night.
Yep.
Most watched conference semis game 4 on any network since 2012.
Wow.
11 years, averaging 7.5 million viewers. So
yeah,
that's through all
box
of
office,
the
man.
Early Warriors dominance, through the Spurs dominance, through Cavs and LeBron winning. That was number one last night.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I tell you what, the stars have – and, you know, I do not count Phoenix out for the Western Conference Finals.
Oh,
I'm not
of course, I'm
out.
Picking them. I'm picking Phoenix tonight.
Do you think they're going to win?
In Denver, yeah, I do. I think Durant and Booker are going to go off tonight.
And can you imagine the next series with LeBron and AD and KD and Devin Booker?
Cha-ching.
Yeah, I mean, that's stars. That's stars. Star effing driven town.
Exactly.
As someone once said.
Hey, what's the line on the Suns tonight?
Line on the Suns.
I my guess is
star effing driven town.
There you go.
My guess is Nuggets. I'm going to say Nuggets by 3.5. Look it up, Bergman.
Nuggets by 3.5.
Let's is Nuggets by 6.5.
6.5.
What's the line on the Joker pushing the Suns owner again?
That's -5.5.
Okay. Well, I don't know if the Suns, they probably won't give the Suns owner a courtside seat because the game's in Denver.
No.
They'll stick him up in the nosebleeds. And in Denver, your nose actually bleeds.
Jorge, you making a bet?
I was thinking about it, but I don't like the line.
No, he doesn't like the
How
line.
How much you lose last night, Briones?
30.
I won 50, so it was an $80,000 mythical money swing.
That a boy, Mace.
Yeah. Making up ground.
Don't forget, in about 10 minutes, Jacob and Ronnie just walked in. Call Jacob.com.
Nice.
Game of Games will be happening with our friend Jacob. Then, around 20 minutes from now, super crosstalk with Cappy and Shitano joining Mason in Ireland.
Excellent. All right, Ireland, I want to ask you, Morales, you can hang on if you want.
Yes. You didn't sell that to me. You were like,
if you want.
All right. So I don't know if this is your Robert De Niro is 79 years old, John. 79.
Okay.
Legendary actor, one of the greatest actors of all time. He has just welcomed his 7th child at the age of 79. Now, what is the legit cutoff age for having kids?
How old am I? 59. 58.
58. See, I think sometimes, well, you know, I could get one. A kid. Adopt a daughter.
Yeah, you don't want
something
to
something like
that.
Why would you want to change your life like that?
I could still pick winners, and why mess up a good thing?
It's a good point. Why mess up a good thing?
So, Mace, the best Robert De Niro movie ever is The Godfather Part II, right?
Yes.
What? I think that's consensus. Here's the hard one.
Yeah, I do. Oh,
really?
Come on. He goes after the oil, and he stabs that guy on the porch. And
yeah, it's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. But I
and he becomes the Don.
Okay. Number two is the hard one.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll just throw these out there, or you can go off the board. But Goodfellas, he's great.
Sure.
Casino, he's
great. Oh, I love Casino.
Raging Bull, didn't he win an Oscar?
What he won Best Actor for, yeah.
Okay, and Taxi Driver is in
Heat.
Heat.
So what's number two behind Godfather?
Casino.
Yeah, Casino.
You guys put Casino ahead of Goodfellas?
Oh, at the end when he's got that bathrobe on and those really thick glasses.
You can buy those glasses on Instagram. Oh, there's an ad going around.
It's so great. It's so great. The really thick glasses and he's calling races. And Don Rickles is in that movie. Don Rickles was so good as the casino manager. I am a big sucker for Casino. And then Sharon Stone at the end, like crawling
along. You blew it!
I can still pick wins. And why mess up a good thing? And that's that.
Ace Rothstein, yes. Exactly. I'll tell you, here's an underrated De Niro movie that I don't think a lot of people have seen. King of Comedy. Did you ever see King of Comedy?
I don't think so.
No.
Directed by Scorsese. The premise is he is a crazy guy named Robert Pupkin.
Okay.
And he is fixated on the host of whatever the evening talk show is, like the equivalent of Johnny Carson. It's played by Jerry Lewis. And he decides to kidnap Jerry Lewis, and Sandra Bernhardt is in it. It is hilarious black comedy. John, have you ever seen it?
I don't think so.
Oh, you got to find it. King of Comedy, underrated classic.
All right, I think the most underrated De Niro performance, Meet the Parents.
Oh, my God, Meet the Parents is so good.
Sleepy good, that Meet the Parents performance.
Yeah. Yeah, fan with Wesley Snipes.
The fan. Greg, you're in the circle of trust.
Fanatic
the fan with Wesley Snipes is the worst sports movie ever.
I'll tell you, here's why it's ridiculous. It is raining so hard at the end of that game that there is no way they would not have pulled the tarp on.
Right.
That I mean, it's raining so nobody and plays apparently in that kind of storm.
I think if I'm remembering correctly, that was done by Tony Scott,
yes,
who didn't grow up in America, and they didn't have a baseball advisor because Tony didn't want anyone telling him what to do. And so then you end up with a movie in a pouring, driving rainstorm when they're playing baseball.
And you know who played one of the announcers, right?
Didn't Rick Schwartz show
Rick
up in
Schwartz,
that movie?
Yeah. Friend Rick Schwartz was one of the play-by-play guys on The Fan.
They don't run that movie at 2 a.m. on TBS anymore.
No, they don't.
That's the only time I ever saw it.
Yeah, pull on the tarp.
Wait,
get the
Chris,
tarp.
What else is on at 2 a.m.?
It depends on what channel you're watching.
Yeah, exactly.
But, Whatever.
Speaking of which, the reason why I think Casino is so great, and you and I could connect on this, John, because we would make the same decision. De Niro, Ace Rothstein, is so powerful.
Yeah.
He's so looped in. He's so juiced into Vegas. And he lets a beautiful woman destroy it all.
Yeah, that would be me.
And me. Yeah. I've done it.
See, I like Ace because he started his own talk show. That was the best.
The Ace Rothstein dancer.
That's what you took out of Casino? Yeah,
he started his own talk show.
That is so Mason.
I think it's so great.
The Steve Mason dancers.
Oh, it would be
I could
so
see you doing
good.
That.
So good. So the theme of today's Game of Games, and Jacob and Ronnie will be thrilled with this news, it is multiple choice. So it's easy. And John, it is about the city in which you are in right now, where Game 5 will be played tomorrow night.
Okay.
We will do Game of Games coming up next with Jacob and Ronnie here, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, here we go. It is Game of Games time, and Jacob and Ronnie is here and in studio. He was at the game last night. Spectacular.
Amazing.
We will talk about that coming up. In the meantime, we're going to play Game of Games. John Ireland's in San Francisco, so it's Jacob, Ireland, Bergman, and Jorge. The game is about the town you are in, John. It is about San Francisco.
Okay.
It's very easy. It's just an either or. So there are two choices on each of these.
Good.
Number one, what is the nickname for San Francisco's famous fog? It is either the Curl or Carl. Jacob?
Say that again.
the nickname for San Francisco's famous fog is either the Curl or Carl.
It's Carl.
Carl. Ireland.
I'm with Jacob. Carl.
Bergman.
I'll go with them. Carl.
Carl. Jorge.
Curl.
The curl?
Yeah.
The correct answer is Carl. Yeah, they when the fog comes in, they say
swag.
Carl's here.
Carl's here.
Swag.
All right, your swag was off there. Number two. Lombard Street is nicknamed the crookedest street in the world. How many hairpin turns are there? There are either five or eight, Ireland.
They're either, so I just have to pick one of the other.
Yeah, either five or eight hairpin turns turns on Lombard Street.
As I remember, I've only done that once, and I remembered a lot of turns, so I'll take the higher one. I'll take eight.
Taking eight. Bergman.
I'm going to go five.
Five. Jorge.
Five.
Five. Jacob.
I'm going 5-2.
The correct answer is eight. There are eight hairpin turns. Ireland has two. Bergman one, Jacob one, and Jorge yet to scratch. Number three. This style of pants was created in San Francisco. It's either jeans or khakis. Bergman.
Jeans.
Jeans. Jorge.
Jeans.
Jeans. Jacob.
I will go with khaki.
Khakis. Ireland.
I think Levi's started and here. Levi's. I'll go jeans.
Yeah, jeans is the correct answer. Levi Strauss.
Stadium.
Exactly. Yeah, Levi Stadium. There you go. Ireland has got a good lead here. Here is number four. What is Coit Tower on top of Telegraph Hill said to resemble? It is either a fire hose nozzle or the tip of a spear, Jorge. Fire hose nozzle or the tip of a spear.
That one's easy. Hose nozzle.
Hose nozzle. He says it's easy. Jacob.
He says it's easy. Okay, I'm going to go with him on this one. Let's see how easy it is.
Hose nozzle. Ireland.
This is hilarious. I can see the Coit Tower from my room. And Jacob and Jorge are right. It looks just like a hose nozzle.
There you go. There you go. Bergman, I would go along with the crowd if I was you.
I think I'm going to go along with the crowd.
There you go. Yes, it is a hose. Unbelievable. You have a view of Coit Tower from where you are.
Well, it's pretty tall.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So Ireland's got a 4-3 lead on Bergman, 2 for Jorge, 2 for Jacob. Here is next. This New York Yankees legend was born in San Francisco. It is either Roger Maris or Joe DiMaggio. Jacob.
Roger Maris.
Roger Maris. Ireland.
DiMaggio.
DiMaggio. Bergman.
DiMaggio.
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 DiMaggio is the correct answer. Yeah, he was born.
What's going on?
I think he played in the minors here. Didn't he play for like the San Francisco Dons or something? I know him and his brother were both from here.
All right. Number six. Who has the most Twitter followers? It is either Draymond Green or Klay Thompson, Ireland.
Ooh, I'll go Draymond.
Draymond. Bergman.
Yeah, Draymond.
Draymond. Jorge.
Draymond.
Draymond. Jacob.
Draymond.
Draymond is the correct answer. It's close, though. It is Klay with 1.8 million and Draymond with 2 million. All right, it's Ireland 6, Bergman 5, Jorge 4, Jacob 3.
How many are left?
I've got 4 left.
Okay.
Number 7.
Still got a chance.
The Golden Gate Bridge is a unique color. It is either called Misty Red or International Orange. Misty Red or International Orange. Bergman.
Misty Red.
Misty Red. Jorge.
Misty Red.
Misty Red. Jacob.
Misty Red.
Misty Red. Bergman. Or Ireland.
I said Misty Red.
Misty Red.
The correct answer, International Orange.
Oh, yeah. That was an opportunity.
Wow, really? There's a lot of mist over it, and it looks red, so it I
is,
figured
there
that
is
would
a
be
lot of mist there, yep. Wow. Number 8. The San Francisco neighborhood, which is home to Sutro Tower, has this name of a TV show. It is either Twin Peaks or Dark Shadows. Twin Peaks or Dark Shadows. John, I think we're getting down to it. This is number 9. So you go first.
There's 3 left?
Sorry, I've got 2 left. 2 left.
Mm. All right, there's 2 left, and I have to pick either
Twin Peaks or Dark Shadows.
Okay, I haven't seen either one of those shows. So this is a complete guess.
Yeah, it's the name of a San Francisco neighborhood.
I'll go Dark Shadows.
Dark Shadows. Bergman, you got to go the other way.
I don't have to. There's one more left, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not going to because I think it's Dark Shadows.
Okay, Jorge?
It is Dark Shadows.
Jacob.
I am going to go Twin Peaks.
Twin Peaks is the correct answer.
No! Way to go, Jacob.
It was right there for
it
you.
It was too. Right there for me.
All right, so we've got 1 left, which means Jacob is out and Jorge is out. This is
right,
for
Bergman.
Everything. Ireland 6-5 over Bergman.
And we both missed the last two.
I know, this is not good, but you get to go first, thankfully.
Okay.
This will be a random guess on your part.
Okay.
When I lived in San Francisco, I lived near a famous beach. It is either Bradley Beach or Baker Beach. Bradley Beach or Baker Beach. Ireland, you go first.
I'll go Baker Beach.
Baker Beach. Bergman, you've got to go the other way.
So I'm going to say the Bradley one.
The correct answer is Baker Beach.
Oh,
Ireland, out there. Ireland with the win.
So
that's two.
Greg, are you ahead of me or am I ahead of you this
No,
month?
We're tied.
Okay.
Bergman 2, Ireland 2, Mason 1, Sliwa 1, Jorge 1.
Let's do the tiebreaker just
Thanks,
for
Jacob.
Fun. How long is the Golden Gate Bridge in feet? How long is the Golden Gate Bridge in feet? This is a total guess. Ireland, you go first.
In feet?
In feet.
I don't even know what to guess. 10,000 feet.
10,000 feet. Bergman?
It's not very long, so I'm going to say it's 3,172 feet.
172. Jorge?
5,765.
5,765. And Jacob?
49.99.
The price is right. I believe the closest to it was John Ireland. It is 8,981.
Wow. Oh, but I went over.
You
I
didn't
know
go
if,
over.
You, I didn't know if you said closest to that.
I was the closest. Okay.
Oh, John is so
he
honest.
He was the closest.
57.65. He went over.
I'm only honest, Jacob, because I already won.
Yeah, I know.
You've already got the...
arguing vehemently if I hadn't won.
By the way, Game of Games is powered by Call Jacob. Winning matters. That's why after an accident, you go to calljacob.com or call 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. Jacob is here with us. So tell me about the upside-down TV ads, because I've seen now these ads on TV that totally grab you.
Yeah, so you know, I mean, I cannot tell you how many people, when they call me, they tell me that their life really has turned upside down after an accident. They never thought it was going to, you know, it's going to affect their life that much. And I said, you know, that's kind of crazy, because usually after we finish their case, they're also thankful that we put everything back to normal for them. And I figured, you know, when you are hurt, when you're in an accident, you don't know what to do. Everything's coming at you. Your life is literally turned upside down.
Yeah.
And when you come to us, our job and our focus is to turn it right side up again. And that's basically what we've been doing for 26 years, and people agree with us. Yeah. So we decided to do something fun like that.
So you were at the game last night.
Oh, man, was I at the game.
Yeah.
I mean, Jacob, were you like me midway through the third quarter when the Warriors went up by 12? Did you think, okay, 2-2, we're going to have to regroup on Thursday?
Absolutely. And I was even nervous when they were up, you know, 99 to 94 or something like that. I mean,
Clay hit the three.
Yeah. I mean, I was saying to myself, we threw the ball away. You know, Lonnie was playing so great. He comes down 2-on-1, him and AD, either take it all the way or throw a lob.
Oh,
and they turned that ball over.
Yeah, that turnover.
And I just figured some of those mistakes were going to cost us the game, because those guys just kept coming and coming and coming. And I got to tell you, I don't think I've been this nervous in a while, because I just feel like this game four was just so important for us, especially since you're playing every other day. You really don't have much room for error.
I really think that the winner of last night's game was going to win the series.
I thought the same thing before the game, but now that we've won and we're up 3-1, I think the Lakers are going to win the series. But Jacob, unlike Mace and Michael, I do not think this is over. What do you think?
I do not think it's over. And the reason I don't think it's over is because you go up there and you lose that game, they really only need to win game six, right? They
Yes.
come down here and they've been in every single game except for the one, obviously, that, you know, either us and them have blown each other out.
Yes.
One time each.
Yeah, but when you really think about it, it's been really close, back and forth, and then somebody just gets way ahead and the other team just says, okay, we got another game, let me just sit everybody, right? So I think it's really, really important to understand that going up there, and I've been hearing all these arguments about, oh, are you going to sit these guys because they've been playing so much, and AD and LeBron did look tired last night
Sure.
at times. The reality is you don't want to give the Warriors life. You
Yep.
got to go out there and you got to play. Of course, if you're down by 15 or so, just like they did in the game up there, you sit them. You know, you just say, okay, fine, we'll work on the next one. But you don't go and say, okay, we're going to lose this game no matter what, and let's just concentrate on game
well,
six.
Well, last night, and John, I was listening to you as you were doing the broadcast. I think you at some point said the champions have shown up as they were
that
as
was
they
when
were
they were up 12
run.
In the third quarter.
And I felt like, too, I felt like the game could get away from them. But the one thing that is interesting about last night is, had Golden State shot a little better from three, they would have won the game. They only shot 29% from three. So they weren't hitting their big shots.
Right. And here's another interesting thing. So Steph was brilliant. He had 31 points, 10 rebounds, 14 assists. Wow. It was his 13th career triple-double. Wow. But he only made 12 of 30 shots.
Yeah. Yep.
And he was 3 of 14 from 3. If you're the Lakers, you'll live with that.
Yeah, it was a very inefficient 31.
Yeah, you'll let him throw up a big triple-double line
all
if
day.
He's going to take 30 shots and go 3 of 14 from 3. Clay was 3 of 11.
Yeah, what did he have, 6 points, just 8 or
nine,
something?
Yeah. 9, and yeah. And Jordan Poole put up a bagel. He was 0 yeah, for 4,
Jordan
no
Poole's
points.
And I heard very frustrated, you know, in the locker room and all that afterwards. But, John, I have one question for you. What is it that is going to make the Lakers understand that when they leave you alone at the three-pointer, don't take that shot and drive to the basket? Because every time we drive to the basket and we get fouled, we're in control.
Yes.
When they step back and dare us to shoot, that's not our game.
Well, and LeBron has been terrible from three. Every time he throws up a three, I'm like, I mean, I get it, and he's LeBron, and he's the greatest of all, but his three is just off in this series.
Well, Jacob, it is a great question, and to drive home your point. The Lakers were 20 of 20 from the free throw line last night. First time they've shot 100% in a postseason game since 2009.
Amazing.
In game four, LA outscored Golden State 20-9. And in the series, the Lakers have outscored the Warriors. Get a load of this, guys. 83-36 at the free throw line.
But would it be fair to say if you go to the basket, we're winning the next game?
Right.
Yeah.
But the problem is they, like in game two, the game they blew us out, they made their threes.
Yep.
If they make their threes, the only way we can equalize them is to get to the free throw line more than them, which we've been good at.
And slow the game down.
Yeah.
Right. But and I thought we were talking about how bad the Warriors were shooting. It's true, Mace. They had an off night, and if they would have shot a little better, they probably would have won. But I think you have to credit the Laker defense for some of that.
Yeah, sure.
The Lakers held them to 17 points in the fourth quarter. That's the lowest scoring quarter for any team in the playoffs this year.
Wow.
And so, if the Lakers play like that defensively, they got a great shot. And by the way, tomorrow night, I don't know anyone picking the Lakers, which is good for us
to be underdogs.
Like every show I watched today, everybody was like Mike Greenberg. This is fait accompli. This is a game six Friday night is happening. The Lakers have zero chance, none, to win this game. That's exactly what you want the Warriors to think. Because then if they come out and the Lakers punch them in the mouth, they may spiral.
Yep.
And so I think we got more than a puncher's chance tomorrow. We match up with them.
They're nervous, John. They're nervous.
Well, think about this, Jacob. We beat them 3 out of 4 during the regular season, and now we've beat them 3 out of 4 in the postseason. At some point, you got to say, like Bill Parcells used to say, you are what your record says you are.
By the way, the last time the Lakers lost 3 in a row was before the trade deadline.
Right. And they also have, I believe, not lost a game at home since the middle of March.
The crowd's been amazing, I gotta tell you, man. You gotta bravo to the Laker crowd. I mean, they've been going nuts, and that's a big part of the energy the Lakers have been getting.
Last thing before we get to Supercross, I'm gonna play something for you, Jacob. This is very John Ireland of me. I'm gonna play something for you, and I want you to tell me what animal this is. Okay, tell me what animal this is.
Wow.
No guess?
I would say an elephant.
Hey!
Wow! Jacob!
There you go! Somebody...
That's Mason's version of an elephant.
Oh, really?
Been telling it sounds like a sick dog.
Yeah, no, see,
so
Jacob got it right away.
You have verified that it does sound like it. That's going to make Mason's day.
It does. It makes my day.
You should see the smile on his face right now.
I'm so glad you got it. All right, Jacob, thank you very much, man. Appreciate it. Of course, Game of Games powered by Call Jacob. Remember, winning matters after an accident. Go to calljacob.com. It is time for some Super Crosstalk. The Love Boat. We are Super Crosstalk time. Cappy's here. I think Shadano is also in the house. We're getting ready, obviously reacting. It's Celebration Tuesday. Last night, the Lakers beat Golden State. They take a 3-1 series advantage. Cappy was there. Cappy, I thought it was a very fun night in the press room last night. We got to meet an all-time hero.
Yeah, I gotta get a little clarity.
Oh, clarity.
On something.
Okay, yeah, go ahead, clarity.
So check me on this.
Yeah, I will.
You and I were in the press room last night.
That is correct.
I don't, you know, usually hang out there, but I was there.
Yeah, no, you were there. I'm not a big press room guy, but I went.
The thing is that I always tell people the 710 suite in Crypto.com Arena is the number one party suite in the entire building.
There's no question about that. I've been there.
If you ever get invited to the 710 suite, take advantage, man.
Yep.
Doesn't matter if it's a Tuesday night or whatever.
Yeah.
You take advantage, okay? Kind of strange echo.
I do have a strange echo also.
All of a sudden, I got a strange
echo. I don't know.
Your headphones are too loud. You guys are too close to the mic.
Really?
That's you.
It's me?
Because mine was fine all day.
What is my deal?
Just turn your headphones down.
No,
are you deaf?
Down. No. This is like...
All right, I think it sounds better now. I think it sounds better.
Really? Yeah. Okay, great.
You guys both sound fine to me. I don't know.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Hi, Johnny.
Yeah.
Cappy, how was it last night?
Oh, it was so fun, man.
Did you stay till the end?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Mace stayed till the end. I was proud of him.
Saw the streamers fall.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you get an Uber home? Did you drive? Did you stay in a hotel? What was your situation last night?
I took an Uber.
You did?
Yeah.
Uber.
Yeah.
Any issues getting an Uber, like out traffic?
No, you got to go to the Ritz over there.
Oh, okay.
You get
they
an
got
Uber
them,
over
of
there
course.
At the
everybody,
Ritz.
Everybody.
Loaded.
Yeah, Ubers. That's where Ubers would be.
So you met Woj.
So I met Woj. Yeah. So
first
John,
time meeting him, Cap?
Yeah, I think so. Yes. In fact, I'm kind of sure of it. But I don't really have anything to talk to him about.
Well, he did ask, what do you think tonight?
Yeah, he kind of gave me that like whole what do you think thing.
Yeah, well, did you tell him it? I told him I think the Lakers win.
I don't think he thought that I really had a thought. I don't think that he thought that I don't think that he
really
wanted
to know what
I think.
Well,
he was
just being nice. He's making conversation.
That's right. Right.
I thought he was mostly focused on me.
Totally way more focused on you than me.
Yeah.
Had no idea who I am.
He was mesmerized by Mason's flowing hair.
Yeah.
Okay. See, that's where I may need a little bit of clarity.
Uh-huh.
Are we certain of this?
Certain of what?
That Woj loved your hair?
Yeah, that's what Momo said.
Can you read? Wait, what?
He loved your hair?
Oh, yeah, he loved my hair.
You didn't hear about this, George?
Oh, yeah, no. So Momo introduces us to Woj.
Momo.
You've never met Woj.
I think I have. But it's a thing with Momo. It's a weird thing. She loves to be like a matchmaker.
She's like mom.
No.
Yeah, she's
no,
like, she's a connector. She's
no,
trying to connect
people.
She's a connector.
People.
Yeah.
No. You know what she is? She's a Yenta. That's what she is.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Okay, that's right. So Momo.
Is that a compliment or an insult?
That's an insult.
No, it's not an
insult. No, it's a matchmaker.
It's not an insult.
Isn't a Yenta
it's
a matchmaker?
It's kind of like. He's calling her a gossip.
Yes, kind of a gossip.
Oh,
you know?
Well, then I'm a Yenta.
Yeah, I am too.
You're the town crier over there.
No, but Momo's so cute because what she does is she goes, Mason, Kaplan, there's Woj. Let's go say hello. Like, she wants us to be introduced to these ESPN
cool.
colleagues.
Which I'm good
you
with.
You should know right. these people.
Yeah.
From dictionary.com.
Yeah.
Yenta.
Yeah.
A woman who is a gossip or busybody. Quote, she acts like a nosy Yenta.
Wow.
So I can't be a Yenta because I'm not a woman.
For me, it's a term of endearment. You know what I'm saying? So we go over to say hello to Woj.
Yes.
And he does. He gives us this hey, what do you think?
So what do you think?
Right.
I told him what I thought. I said Lakers by 3.
Yeah. He
probably is very impressed now.
I didn't like
that.
I know.
Wow. Look at you.
Lakers by 3.
He's like, get it on the number.
He's all over it.
Yeah.
He was not looking in my direction in any way. And I was going like, I like the Lakers. Woj. I like the Lakers. Yeah. So like I was not part of the conversation
right.
really.
And then by the way, he says, oh, I got to talk to that guy.
Yeah, he was like, he had nothing to do with us.
That's his way to get out.
Yeah, that's his way to get out. And by the
that
way,
was smart.
Went and got
that was
a
great
soda.
For me.
Yeah. Went and hit the popcorn. Right. Yeah, I mean, it was not really. But afterwards.
But that was a good way to get out.
But there was a weird, wasn't there like a kind of a weird interaction though, where you said something to him like, I don't know.
My opening line, my icebreaker line was, hey, I follow you on Twitter.
Very good.
Yeah, which I thought was a pretty
That's funny.
Very good.
Yeah, you and about 7 million other people.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah, that's the gag. Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then Ramona goes, Cap, do you follow Adrian on Twitter?
Yeah.
And I'm like, No, I don't think so. Let me take a look. Yeah. I don't think so. Yeah. Like, so
why
that
wouldn't
was,
you just lie?
Yeah, why wouldn't you say yes?
That's, I just thought that was kind of a funnier thing to say, which was, I don't think so.
That's off-putting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I would agree.
I mean, 7 million people.
I don't follow you on Twitter. It's basically, that's off-putting.
Well, I was being introduced for the first time. I didn't know who he was.
Right, right.
You know, I didn't know who this guy was.
So afterwards.
Yeah, so then, but then he said something like, he got done and you said goodbye, you shook his hand.
Yes.
I said goodbye and shook his hand, and I said something like kind of, I said something dumb like, hey, well, you know, we always really appreciate you coming on the air.
That is true. You did say that.
And he starts laughing, and Ramona starts laughing, and she's like, what was that all about? She's like, does he come on the air all the time? I'm like, no, that was the point. He never really comes on the air.
He doesn't really.
I don't think any of our shows have ever had him on.
No, I've had him on a bunch over the years, but it was pre-Cappy.
Yeah. So I was like, yo, thanks a lot for coming on all the time. We really appreciate it, man.
Yeah. Maybe it's you. Now he's definitely not coming on.
I don't know. Yeah.
So then later.
Maybe he's going to, when I text him, he'll be like, is that Kaplan guy going to be there?
Yeah.
That's right.
But wait, let's go to the text here because this is important. Yeah. Listen to this. You interpret this, George.
Okay. Ramona texted me and Scott afterwards and said, amazing turn of events. I went up to Woj after our interaction and said, glad you got to meet my guys. Woj responded, that guy's got great hair.
Why would Momo make that up, Cap?
Yeah.
No, that's real.
Not saying she made it up.
Yeah. I think you are. I think that's what you're suggesting.
Do you want me to
ask
Woj if Mason has really good hair?
You're suggesting it's less than a full compliment.
Yeah, what was your take? Did you think they were talking about your hair?
Why not?
Did you honestly think Woj was reacting
to your hair? Is this not the most Kaplan take ever?
It's basically because you know
that guy's got great hair.
John, this is what it is.
Yeah,
Mason and Cap are like the Spider-Man meme, where they're just the two Spider-Men pointing at each other. That's what they are.
That is awesome.
Very true. Very true.
I mean, read the
fact that you thought they were talking about your hair is ridiculous.
But what about the fact that you thought that they were talking about your hair? Why is that not ridiculous?
I'm known for my hair.
What do you mean?
He's known for his hair. Nobody knows you for your hair.
Okay. This silver hair is my trademark.
There's two guys standing there.
Yeah.
Two guys. One guy has this completely white hairdo. Okay?
It's not a hairdo.
What would you call it?
Yeah, it kind of is. All right. But that's okay.
All right. And then there's me. I got a full head over here. And it's a little weirdish kind of thing, you know, because it goes in its own different directions, you know? So when he says, hey, that guy has a great head of hair, which guy?
Okay.
The guy with the gray hair? The guy with the dyed colored black hair?
Okay, so here's how neurotic I am.
Go ahead.
I texted Ramona separately because I also thought, well, maybe he was talking about Scott.
No.
I swear to God,
no
I
chance.
Did.
Yeah, no, that is 100% true. I know it.
No, so, you would text it, but it's not about Cappy.
I texted Ramona and said, so Woj loves my hair, huh? And she said, yes, that was his takeaway. So it's definitely my hair. It's not your hair.
All right. I didn't check in. Yeah. I didn't check in to find out.
Cap, did you put on a different outfit?
Wait a second. Johnny I.
I'm FaceTiming Ramona.
Oh, not Woj. We thought you were FaceTiming Woj.
I thought Woj. No, that would be huge.
I'm not on FaceTime with Woj. Ramona.
Hello.
Hi.
Look
at this little guy.
What's up, bud?
So
you're on the radio, obviously.
Yeah,
hi, Momo.
Hi, Ramona.
Yeah. So explain the whole Mason Cappy Woj thing.
Okay. So we see them in the I see Mace and Cappy and you want me to, should I give Jacob to Nevin?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And okay. Say hi to Nordberg for us too.
There we go. Okay. So we see Woj in the press room.
Yep.
And I said, hey, Mace, Cap, you want to go meet Woj? And he was like, yeah, let's do it. And it was, like, really good because he was definitely not turtling. Like, he's in, like, the anti-turtle mode. Right?
Yes, right.
And I went and walked over to Woj, and I said, hey, Adrian, I want you to meet my co-host. This is Steve Mason. I'm always on with him during the day, and this is Scott Kaplan. He works with Sedano in the afternoons. And Mason, like, perfect. He goes, hey, I follow you on Twitter.
Funny.
Pretty good. Pretty good line, right?
Yeah.
And then Cap had nothing. He was just kind of
nothing.
There.
What do you mean? Nothing. I said to him, no, you said, wait, but wait, Ramona.
I was like,
wait, Ramona.
This is,
You said, Cap, do you follow Woj on Twitter? And I was like, I don't think so. Like, I thought that was funny.
That's off-putting.
Oh, yeah, that was a little, I guess that was a little funny. And then you totally rallied, okay? Yeah. You totally rallied. You went and said, as he was about to leave, he said, hey, thanks for coming on our show all those times.
Which is good.
That was good, Cap. I thought that was good.
That was good closure.
Laughed,
he laughed.
Afterwards, Woj actually came over to me and he goes, hey, you know, tell that guy I don't go on anybody's show. Yeah. So
tell that guy.
I was like, no, he was just being funny.
Yeah.
Right? And then I said, hey, how did you like Steve Mason? Have you ever done a show with him? He goes, that guy has great hair.
There you go.
Oh, man.
I told Cappy he used to come on my show all the time pre-Cappy.
Yeah.
Pre-Cap.
I'm that guy. Okay, you know.
No, I don't think it's you. I think it's Woj. I think.
No, he just doesn't
Woj
do radio anymore.
Aggregated.
Yeah, he just doesn't do radio.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
But Momo, anyway, is the series over? Well, we got you here.
I think we're back here on Friday, and then I think it's over on Friday.
Yeah,
yeah. A lot of people. That's the take. Yeah. Momo, who are we going to meet at Game 6?
Oh,
I don't know. Who do you want to meet? Do you want to meet Pelinka?
Yeah, I was looking for Rob last night.
Yeah,
I had a lot of nice time with Rob last night.
Who do you want to meet?
I'll meet who. I'm in an anti-turtling mode.
Okay.
Like,
really?
In other words, matter who you introduce me to, I'm going to be like
You're like a caterpillar out of the cocoon.
I am.
But wait a second.
Exactly. You're now a butterfly.
This is actually very, very funny and very true.
Yeah.
So Mace and I last night are having this conversation where he says, ever since the whole turtling conversation began on the show, all of a sudden, I've gone anti-turtle.
Yes.
In fact, he told me a story, true story, that he was at a party this weekend where he would normally be turtling in the corner.
Yep.
But he was anti-turtle, and he was talking to everybody.
Talking to everybody.
And now you're drinking, too, so there's that.
That's a little oil for the fire. Yeah.
John, I know you can't. She can't hear you because we have our headphones on.
Right.
You have anything you'd like to say to Ramona?
No, I realized that after the first thing I said, that Ramona has no mechanism by which to hear me, I'm out until you hang up on
her. It's tricky when you hold the phone up to the microphone and do it
all right,
like
he's
that.
He's got nothing for you, Momo.
Yeah.
He said
okay,
nothing.
Got
it. All right.
Good.
Bye, Momo.
Momo, love you.
Bye, guys.
All right, see
you. There's Ramona Shelburne.
Hey, Mace, listen to this. So, Sedano and Cap, we were talking about the fact that one of the worst sports movies of all time is The Fan, starring Robert De Niro.
Terrible.
Because it's basically a guy obsessed with Barry Bonds. Wesley Snipes plays the Barry Bonds role.
Right, right.
And in the last half hour of the movie, The Fan is stalking the baseball player, and it is an absolute monsoon at the ballpark. Like, there's never been a baseball game played in this much rain.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about the fact that Tony Scott directed it, and Tony Scott was British, so he had no
sense
technical,
of baseball.
And so he put in the script a monsoon, and the game will end in a monsoon. Mace, I just got an email from our friend Jeff Blake.
Oh yeah,
who worked
he
at Sony?
That? He was president
he said,
of distribution.
John, unfortunately, that was a Sony release. Believe it or not, Cal Ripken Jr. was the consultant on that movie.
Wow.
So did Cal Ripken just fail to mention we don't play baseball in a driving rainstorm and Tony Scott ignored him?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's exactly right.
By the way, John, you'll love this. So one of our great listeners, Grant in L.A., who listens to all the shows here on the station.
He's awesome.
He's an incredible Photoshopper,
yes,
John.
Yes, he is. Okay.
And he has Photoshopped a tweet of Adrian Wojnarowski that said, met Scott Kaplan last night. What a yenta. Horrible hair. I will send you the picture so you can see it.
That. I gotta have that.
That is awesome.
By the way, Grant in L.A. is the only guy. Grant in L.A. is the only guy who's noticed I'm wearing a sided hat today.
Oh, yeah, you are wearing a sided hat. Are you an investor?
No. Well, that'd be taking quite a while.
A buyer? No,
he got a free hat, basically.
All right, hey, we're...
I think you're an emotional investor, you know?
Well, Grant in L.A., or somebody commented, what does Chris get out of that? Mm-hmm. What's Cappy paying him? I said ground transportation.
Damn right.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
Maybe hotel.
Coming up next for you is Sedano. Ireland, you go have a nice dinner or whatever you do in San Francisco. I'm sure it's going to be a fantastic
Ireland.
Evening.
Seven Hills, man. Go to Seven Hills.
I'll look into it.
Yeah.
All right. Get on it immediately.
Didn't sound like he was that...
Nope. It's okay. To it. Yeah. It's a fancy place. Yeah, he's like a fancy kind of guy, so that's why.
A suggestion, yeah. We're back tomorrow at 1 o'clock, and we'll be getting you ready for game number 5. Reaction to game 4, plus preview, and lots of stupidity coming up next with Shidano and Cap on a live Imaging Tuesday. Morales is here all afternoon, too. See you tomorrow, 710 ESPN.